you are a function of what the whole universe is doing in the same way that a wave is a function of what the whole ocean is doing.
This is the Hidden Wire Podcast, episode 356. G'day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show. My name's Liam Arnoldsey, the host of the show, the founder, the Hidden Wire guy, here to inspire others to live their life with greater passion and purpose. And to do that, really, I believe it's about connecting with your why, connecting within and finding out your purpose, finding out your inner mission, your dreams, your desires, your values, the things that you most want to pursue. And take the journey. Take the journey, which is your own. Pursue that path. Be your internal guide. And you can start living with greater passion and purpose. And I believe that will create a greater sense of happiness along the journey. Guys, every week I interview a couple of people on the show to inspire us, to give us some value, to help us on that journey. And today's guest is Adam Force. He is an entrepreneur. He's a social entrepreneur, as he calls it. And he is the founder of Change Creator. It's a multimedia platform dedicated to social entrepreneurship and refining the role business plays in the world. So it's a really cool website. You can check out the platform. It's the links are in the show notes at thehiddenwire.com. He's got a magazine, a podcast, and just lots of value for those entrepreneurs that are looking to make a social impact to help solve some of the problems that exist in our society and do it in a way that's not only allows them, you know, a greater life and a greater sense of living, but also impacts other lives as well. And certainly Adam's a big fan of that. That's what he's doing with his project. He believes he's found his purpose. And in this episode, we discuss, you know, what it takes to become a social entrepreneur and the benefits of doing that. He also talks about his personal journey and a few of the practices that help him in the journey as well. So I think you'll get a lot of value out of this, guys. If you do love it, please share it with your family. Share the love, spread the message for me. That'd be great. You can also connect with me at Facebook, Twitter, and at thehiddenwire.com. My email address is there. So if you have any feedback or questions for the show or me in particular, please feel free to reach out and connect. Guys, that's it from me. Make sure you subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to THY TV if that is your poison. And make sure you subscribe to the newsletter as well. We'll talk at the other end. Enjoy this show. G'day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hidden Wire Podcast. My name is Lee Martinuzzi. Pumped and excited as usual. Today, I'm joined by Adam Force. Adam, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me, Lee.
Now, as I understand it, Adam, it's your afternoon over there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about 3:30 here, South Florida, and weather's not too bad.
South Florida. And did you have a good lunch, a healthy, wholesome lunch?
You know, I haven't had lunch yet. I've been getting into this habit of doing a late breakfast. I start my work in my morning routine, get into my work, and next thing you know, it's, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning and I'm doing that brunch.
Ah, yeah. Is that done deliberately for some sort of intermittent fasting, or is that something that you do because you just get stuck into your work?
It's just I get into my work. So now my new habit is I eat around 10, then I eat again around 3:30, 4 o'clock, and then I do my dinners not until like 8.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I've been actually doing it now where I get up in the morning. I'm typically an early riser, so I'll get up and I'll do a few hours of exercise and meditation and work and stuff. And then I'll have breakfast about 8 o'clock. And then 4 days of the week, pretty consistently, I'll have dinner at about 4 o'clock. So I just have two meals a day, and then I sort of fast for 16 hours. And it's really like at first it was sort of weird to get my head around, but now I do it with ease, and it feels really good. I like it. Yeah, but yeah. It's I know it's pretty popular out there to have that sort of a lifestyle. So.
Sure. Yeah,
that's good, agreed. Mate. Well, it sounds like you're charged and ready to go. So tell us, Adam, what do you do? What's your business, your concept, your background, your mission?
Yeah. You know, the vision right now is we're just helping as many people as possible become change creators. And so this is really important. And the problem is big. And what we're addressing is a very interesting transition. You know, years ago, I became really involved and interested in social entrepreneurship, you know, through some moments of reflection that I had on a trip to Costa Rica. Just thinking about, just to keep it simple, the big question that really triggered this for me, it was just the right time in the right place. And it was You know, do I want to be doing what I'm doing 10 years from now? And am I on the path to become who I want to be? And I certainly wasn't. So I started just kind of assessing that kind of stuff and saying, all right, well, what do I want to do? And when I learned about social entrepreneurship, I really fell in love with it because I was really a compassionate activist at heart. And social entrepreneurship is really a approach to business that is solving some of our most pressing problems around the world today by kind of changing these old systems that we have that are producing these problems and shifting the paradigm. So to me, I was like, wow, so you can really make a great living and you can be pursuing something really purposeful and meaningful in your life. And, you know, you're going to solve some of these major problems. Great. So I love that idea. And I started trying to become an actual social entrepreneur. And, you know, I explored a lot of different categories, no experience in, but, you know, for example, plastic pollution, rainforest advocacy, and, you know, those are all great things. And I believe you know, you're the designer of your life. You can learn whatever you want to learn. Some roads are going to be a little quicker than others and some will be longer. And this was a long road for me. So I got to a point where I did a self-assessment and I came to the conclusion that with my publishing background and my experience in digital marketing strategy and all that kind of stuff, Change Creator was the right approach. And so this was my way of contributing. And the idea of a change creator, which I'm defining as somebody who is essentially using their own skills to pursue a lifestyle of purpose and earn a living while they're addressing these pressing social or environmental problems. And that's what I'm seeing today with the data, that's going through Nielsen and Gallup, that, you know, the millennials are discontent with what they're doing at work. I think there's only about 29% are actually content and engaged at work. And, you know, they're more interested in creating an actual lifestyle that they contribute something. They want to contribute and have purpose. So I look at that and say, great. Then I look at social entrepreneurship and I see how that's been scaling up over the past couple of years, saying, okay, this makes sense. I'm putting this together. So we have this urgency with the millennial generation who's very socially conscious. They want to live more purposeful. They see what's going on in the world. They want to contribute to it. And so part of what we're doing is creating these change creators. We want to become the Forbes magazine of social entrepreneurship and then create a very large multimedia platform that is going to offer all the different support, mentorship, and tools they need to actually pursue these new paths that they're struggling to figure out how to do. So I'll pause there, but that's my that's my long-winded answer.
but well put together. So for the listeners out there, you've got a magazine website platform, which is called Change Creators. I believe it's changecreators.com or Change Creator Mag, is it? Or
yes, Change Creator Mag. Change Creator was, of course, taken.
So changecreatormag.com. So beautiful magazine. You got a podcast there as well and many blogs and bits and pieces and information up there for those social entrepreneurs out there. So it looks like you certainly had a bit of an aha moment there and started asking some of the bigger questions about life. And I can certainly resonate because I remember sitting on a jetty, overlooking the water, having a couple of beers and just going, what is this all about? Is this where I see myself for the rest of my life? A couple of questions that come to mind that I want to ask is, at that point, did you obviously questioned about, is this what I want to be for the rest of for the next 10 years or whatever? Did you know that that wasn't what you wanted to be? And if you did you know what you wanted to be? And what did it mean to you about how you wanted to be? Was it about how you wanted to be or what you wanted to be?
I think it comes down to, am I doing something that is a real expression of, you know, who I am and what's important to me? And when I looked at what I was doing and the course that I was on, you know, I really wasn't. And I haven't thought a lot about those things, so then of course I'm not aiming at anything, right? I just like a lot of people, I got a really great job. I was working at WebMD at the time, and it's a great company. And I was making money to pay the bills and working my way up to be more and more successful. But with that point of reflection, sitting out there in Costa Rica, very remote, and just kind of thinking about this, I was like, you know what? I really don't know who I want to become. I haven't really thought about that. And of course, because of that, I don't have any plan to get there. So to your point, no, I didn't know what I wanted to do and who I wanted to become. But what it did was, this perspective shift. And I think we all get there at our own different times in our life. And, you know, everybody's different. And I just sat there and go, wow. And all of a sudden I was on this mission. It's like, all right, I need to figure this out because I'm already X years old. I forget, it's maybe 7 or 8 years ago. And, you know, time goes quick and it's my most valuable commodity. So I need to start using it wisely and I need to get clear on what I want to do with my life and start pursuing that. So, so no, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And it was an important pivot. I actually got my first tattoo. My whole, now my upper arm, I have a sleeve and I have a big tattoo on my back. It's all covering my body and it's all reflective of Costa Rica. And that was because it was such an important pivotal moment in my life based on that perspective shift.
Yeah, I like those. That's pretty cool. I don't know about the tattoo thing, but go for what I say. Yeah, but I had a similar thing and it was a spark of curiosity and really internal sort of search for, well, what do I want? Because at the moment, at that time, I didn't know what I wanted. And I think that's really important for the listeners. Just to put it in context, what age were you at that point?
Let's see. I was probably about 29 or so, maybe 30. And right now I'm 37.
Okay. And would you describe, how would you describe the transition? Would you describe it as one that sort of...
Frustrating.
Frustrating. But did it put you on your own path more so than these other paths of life? Like, would you describe it as more of a journey that was driven internally rather than externally?
Yeah, it is. It's an internal journey. It's basically self-discovery, right? Have you really looked at yourself? Do you really understand what's important to you and, you know, what you actually bring to the table? And, you know, so once you start writing that stuff down and taking what I, you know, basically an inventory, you could start getting clarity of, okay, what's my... the important thing that if I could talk to someone, let's say for 24 hours straight, what is that topic that consumes me that's important? And like, you know, so I started just figuring out my values. You know, what if someone come to me for advice for, does that give a reflection of maybe what they see me as who I'm good to talk to about, you know, like stuff like that. And it started just giving me clarity. And then I looked at my skills that I had just based on my past experiences. And I started combining all these things and saying, all right, here's what I'm really passionate about. Here's what my values are. Here's what my experience is. How do I take these ingredients and pursue something that I can manifest myself and what does that look like? So I just started thinking about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And pretty much what I did, and I've created a map out of that now to help others do the same.
I'm just exactly,
sort of, you know, asking the questions and connecting those dots and then seeing from there, you know, really defining a bit of a why behind your action so you can take more purposeful action in life. So
that's,
it's interesting.
Exactly,
you've certainly had that journey, mate. And I love the idea of, you know, addressing social problems, being a social entrepreneur. Something popped up there where you're talking about millennials and, you know, being heavily discontent with what they're doing and certainly wanting to have a lifestyle plus purpose in what they do. And I wonder how real this is. I get it and it sounds nice and I love the message that millennials give out. It's certainly aligned, you know, with a lot of what I say here at The Hidden Why, but is it a recipe for disaster for a lot of people?
I guess tell me what might make you think it's a recipe for disaster. What does that mean exactly? Meaning they're going to go off on a wild goose hunt and it's just going to cause them to not earn a living and things like that?
No, I think for me, it's looking at, you know, the social media and how millennials interact with the world. You know, perhaps the part of it is attached to the big me. You know, I am all important. I'm special. I'm unique. I can be the greatest thing in the world. And we're all surrounded by this information coming at us. Millennials, I'm not too sure, but I assume it's more so than the information that I'm surrounded by. And they see all these messages of these young people doing great things, and they think, yeah, I'm going to do that as well. And then they set their goals for that sort of lifestyle and their goals for that purpose, not from an internal point of view, but from a externally driven sort of point of view, where it's more attached to an ego and an external desire that perhaps... upon that path, they create these expectations, and when they work hard and don't get far, and they might just get disappointed and find greater disconnect. And that's my thoughts where it might go in the next 10 years. Because, as we know, not everyone's going to be the next Richard Branson or someone powerful. And I know there's different levels of scale, and that's something to put into context as well. But
sure.
Yeah, what is your opinion on all that?
Yeah, that's interesting. And I think it's important that people don't get attached and driven by external goals, and it becomes more of an internal, mission to just become the person that you're really meant to be. And obviously, you're faced with different experiences and stimulus as you just live every day. So your perspectives change. So your goal is going to be kind of, you want to shape the goal to who you are. And so I think it's, and I see that too. You can go on Instagram and you just see, the Ferrari pictures and the mansions, and everyone's so hung up on getting rich and, all those types of things. And you can talk from one successful entrepreneur to the next, to the next, to the next. And they're going to tell you that, you just can't buy fulfillment, no matter how much money you get. And the most valuable thing that you can offer as a gift is your labor. And so you want to trade it for something really important, and you want to play for something that's bigger than yourself. Mm. Because something more important, and this is why, you see a lot of people, they have kids, and what happens? They have this sense of meaning in life. And so I think there's that drive there. So could people be going down the wrong path? I guess you could say that for anything to me, because yeah. It means that I can get information that just isn't what it should be. And it could give me the wrong perspective and take me down the wrong road. So yes, they can have flawed perspectives that are going to take them, and they're going to have to learn from that journey, right? And then pivot. So I think, if you're just focused on becoming your best self, like you said, wake up, do meditation, get perspective on the world, and pursue what's important to you in a smart, committed fashion. Be disciplined, have a routine, know where you want to go. I don't think you're ever going to hurt yourself. And I think that's exactly what we need more people in the world to do, is to discover what they're meant to do and start pursuing that. And so at least what we could do, people on that mission, and have people start thinking about it and start taking those steps. And I think, so to me, I think it's a really good evolution of consciousness, if you will, not to get too deep and philosophical, but that is happening. We're seeing a different thought process with the younger generation, whether it's one extreme or the other. But the data, which just a new survey came out from Gallup for 2017 that was conducted in 2016. And that's what we're seeing, these disconnects with engagement at work and what they really want out of life and all these things. And, as the internet opens up so much transparency of what's going on in the world, I think we're seeing a greater extension of empathy from these younger generations who are so connected. And so they're going, man, I really do want to help fix these problems. So it seems like a natural evolution. And right now we're calling this new lifestyle or approach to business social entrepreneurship.
Yeah, look, and I think it's where the world's going as far as, entrepreneurship in general, and everyone being their own boss in essence. I think that's sort of the shift. So it's really important for people to find that. And I think once, if people can find their sort of inner purpose, their inner goals, and be driven internally, they'll find a more pleasant and sustainable path forward and still be able to create that lifestyle. When it comes to, everyone needs to earn a living, and depending on what sort of what their perceived needs are, I guess that can vary, but about creating, an entrepreneur sort of life, entrepreneurship sort of life, and that social, purpose, how do they go about, sustaining their lifestyle and, finding money to pay for food and shelter and all that?
Well, a lot of these now are they're for-profit businesses that are being created. So one of my favorite examples is Jake Orrack. He's a younger guy. He went to Vietnam. He had a great job in the U.S. and was high paying, six figures, whatever it was. But he left for an opportunity in Vietnam that only paid $500 a month. He just wanted to go abroad, check it out. He was on holiday riding his motorcycle, and he came across this village of people. They were artisans that did these handcrafted, really cool knit like designs and stuff, all by hand. But they're going out. Their culture is completely crushed because industry was just overwhelming them. So what he did was he said, oh, man, this is just too precious to see it die off. And so he created a business called Ethnotech Bags that now is selling all the materials. He creates bags, iPad covers, you name it, out of these handcrafted materials. And he supports those cultures. So he's making great money and he's supporting those cultures. And it's all because of that experience that he had. So the idea is, just like anything, if you wanted to be a great cook, you could say, yeah, I want to be a professional cook. Well, you're not money and be a professional cook in the next week. It's going to take time. So there is a transitional process for anyone to go through. Once you decide this is my path and this is what I want to do, and because it's who I'm meant to be, you have to be willing to be patient, disciplined, and have a process and a vision, because it's going to take time. So in the meantime, you're going to have to find out how to play with the game in our culture, which is make money. And sooner or later, though, when you put in enough time and you're persistent, the passion that you have, the mission that you're on, will start earning money for you. You have to have, though, a model in mind that plans to make money. To give you one example is on the sixth edition. On the sixth edition of Change Creator Magazine, we had Dr. Alistair Harris. He was a award-winning social entrepreneur through the Skoll Foundation. And he essentially was a marine biologist, loved coral reefs. This is what he did, science. However, to help the people of Madagascar, more specifically, he wanted to help renew the fisheries out there because they're very important to the world. He had to say, well, I'm a reluctant social entrepreneur, which was the title of our article, because the only way he could actually test out his theories and solve those problems was to create a business, because the business model had to actually earn him income to scale the ideas and pay for what he wanted to do. So the business was actually a model designed to fund his efforts and scale the impact that he was creating. Today, he's now not only tested his ideas with one community and been successful, he scaled it all the way up the coastline, and he's repeated it now in several other areas of the world. And that is exactly what being a social entrepreneur is all about, is scaling your impact. And so the business there, you can make money, but you have to think about the beginning. How are you going to do it? What's going to work? And make sure you have a plan for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that sort of an idea of creating it just so you can scale it. I think that's a really good example of social entrepreneurship.
Absolutely.
Do you feel, and I mean, you're a bit closer to, I guess, the millennials out there. Do you feel they're quite savvy about how to go about creating these business models and the strategy behind it, other than just having, you know, nice ideas and desire for those sort of lifestyles and purposes? Are they savvy to creating the business models?
No. And I can say that as confidently as I did. I'm not saying none of them are, but most are not. And I've actually sat down with university professors at Cornell and Eckerd College, and I asked these questions. You know, we want to talk to their students. We want to learn, you know, what they're interested in and see what their frustrations are or hesitations. Teach these social entrepreneurship classes, and they have conferences. And when I asked, you know, how informed are they? Are they, when they come into your class for social entrepreneurship, do they have an idea of what they want to do? Do they really even know what social entrepreneurship is? They have no idea. Do they know how to create a business? No. I think that the answer is definitely not. But that doesn't mean they're not hungry to learn how. Yeah. The data is saying that, you know, over 60% of these millennials are interested in being an entrepreneur, or they believe that they could if they had the opportunity. So I think, then another trend is showing this is a direction that people might want to go, but they're going to need some support there.
Yeah, and I think there's probably a growing marketplace for education in that sort of realm. So helping other people, well, young people, learn the skills and what they need to go out there and put their sort of desires or dreams or purposes into action.
I think that's true. And there's a lot of people doing it, you know, but who has good and who has bad information? It can be tough. And, you know, are you willing to invest in yourself? Because most of these are not free. Courses can be very expensive. Obviously, classes at actual universities can be very, very expensive. So it just depends on where you're getting information. But you're right, there is a market for it. And everybody can be a teacher. Everybody can be a student. We all have different perspectives and experiences to share. So you might be teaching the same thing as someone else, but because of your perspective and the way you talk about it and the way you share advice, I might receive it better from you than the other person.
Yeah. And that's what I think, you know, that's a part of the trend as well. Like, you know, there's not going to be one massive school where entrepreneurs go to learn these things.
Right.
They're going to go out there and seek the schools that give them the information they need, where they feel a fit. Aligned with their message, etc. It's like searching for a coach, I suppose, in that
sense. Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah, really cool stuff. What would your, you know, because I mean, there's a lot of fear and self-doubt and maybe confusion for those people that have that idea. They really want to do something and have an impact at whatever level they might desire. I mean, what's a bit of advice you might give someone looking to pursue that without, you know, giving up, I guess, and falling into the trap of complacency and...
I like that question because that's actually something important because there's so many people with ideas and they start with that passion to say, I can do this. And then they might start and they get so defeated because it's not working out after the first year or, you know, whatever it might be. And they just don't have the support and the mentorship in their particular space or niche in order to make the right decisions and help make progress. So then we lose that great idea, right? So I think that what people have to understand is they don't have to go at it alone. There's tons of networks, groups, and different universe groups and things like that you could be part of and start building a bit of a network. So I think don't go at it alone. And that doesn't mean you have to have a co-founder and all those types of things, while that helps, but there's just other people out there talking about this stuff. You just need to go and become part of those groups and have conversations, ask questions, see what they're struggling with and what they've accomplished and things like that. And I would say expect the feeling of defeat. Like, you're going to screw it up. You're going, you know, we've all heard it. You're going to fail, like all these things. So one of the things I always, you know, one of my last articles on Arianna Huffington's website, Thrive Global, was, why you're not achieving your goals and really how to fix that. And part of the whole theory is you need to have routine and discipline and patience, because routine allows for you to constantly grow and compound the effort you're going after, whether it's self-development or marketing for your business. And discipline means that you're actually sticking to it so that you're consistent. And then the patience is because you need to give it time. These things don't happen overnight. And if you're inconsistent and you're like, oh, I did guest post for, 3 months and I'm just not seeing any results. Yeah, that's because you probably need to do a lot more, and you probably need to do it for about 12 months before you even start getting a return, just as a very tactical example. But this is what happens. So patience, discipline, and routine I have found to be some of the most important, and you will start seeing success if you can stick to that.
Yeah, and that's the thing, sticking to it. I mean, where, again, millennials are quite discontent and they want immediate results, and that persistency is probably one of the greatest roadblocks, I guess, for them
to
create what they want.
It's true. And they've actually created more businesses than their previous generation. That information here. Like, they've created up to 8 businesses by a certain age versus the older generation before created up to like 3 by a certain age. I don't remember the exact numbers, but that's interesting because you could see they're jumping from one idea to another.
Yeah, which sort of, and I'm guilty, man. I do the same thing myself, you know, trying to find that fit, trying to find that place, trying to find that magic, I guess. And it's sort of indicated to me personally, but I guess it, you know, looking out externally as well, that perhaps we're sort of driven again by that external need, and we're not really connecting with what's really important and what we really desire. Because if you connect with a deeper purpose, something that you're really passionate and, you know, you really desire to change, you'll pursue it. I think you'll persist and you'll pursue it as best you can, you know, whatever the challenge and adversity that you face, you'll push through that because it really means something to you. And if we're jumping around from ship to ship, it means that we haven't quite got that connection yet.
Yeah, and I would say that's okay too. Meaning, you know, people paralyzed by saying, well, I want to do this, but I also, what about this? And I love that. And I love this. And you're going, they're like, I don't know which direction to put all my attention towards. And you sit there and you end up doing nothing. And I always say, well, at least start something, whether it's the right answer or not. And you're going to find out sooner or later. You'll know if it feels right. And you're really waking up excited to do this. And if you're not, then you cross it off your list and you move to the next thing, right? Yeah, yeah. And I did that for years. I did it for years before I came to this conclusion. But it's just, as long as you're constantly trying to figure it out, you'll get there over time. It keeps like, it's like filtering it, right? You're going through these experiences that filter, and you get closer and closer to who you are. And to your point, like, I wouldn't look at this particular goal that you're going after, just have a vision of what's important to you and what you'd like to do, and just keep working towards it, because you will pivot and you will change directions and learn new perspectives and information.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess don't change or give up or change direction just because you feel defeated. But rather change because it actually doesn't feel good.
Exactly.
Which is probably, you know, the difference there. And look, I agree. Like I'm still searching for, you know, that greater purpose, and I feel I'm on the right path, and, you know, the paths vary and veer and all that sort of stuff, but I'm searching.
Yeah.
And that's what's important. And as I continue along, you know, these changes that I've had, particularly in the last several years since I started, you know, taking my own journey, you know, I'm getting closer. I feel the connection, and I feel something more deep within me driving me, and that's what's important. And I feel this level of calmness too, in my life, and that's really quite amazing. And I think that's been my drive for the last several years, is finding that calmness. More importantly, have you found your purpose, Adam?
Yeah, my purpose. I'm living it. If I tell anybody about Change Career and this vision that this brand I started bringing to life, and what it's about, they're going to say, oh, that's so you. That's just exactly who you are. You know, it's because if they know me, they know that this is a direct reflection of my beliefs and my values. So pursuing Change Creator and making, helping people pursue this path, basically. I mean, for me, I identify it with social entrepreneurship. This is what's important to me and what I love. And I think to me, what that is, though, is just, how does someone create a lifestyle that is meaningful and is contributing to solving these major problems? I mean, that's the essence of it. And I love doing creative design, digital marketing. Like for me, I'm excited about that stuff. But that greater vision of becoming the face of the most reliable and the most reliable source for social entrepreneurship, mentorship, that is what I'm all about. And that's what I believe in. I get excited in the morning to wake up and take the next step of progress.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, powerful messages, mate, that you've shared throughout, you know, the progress, the persistency, the discipline, lots of things that people can take away. What is your deeper why? What is your deeper reason for wanting that, to achieve that goal, you know, to become that face, to be the Forbes magazine in social entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I guess it's just, for me, it is an expression. It is becoming, like we've been talking about. For me, my why is because I just have this deep empathy for what's going on around the world. So for me, if I can accomplish this and throughout this journey have these smaller achievements along the way where I'm helping someone else do this because it's now their business is solving a problem, I feel like I'm living my purpose. I feel like that's what I'm here to do. There has been multiple times in my life where before I even started this, I've been told you should have been a motivational speaker. Like I have this tendency to try and motivate people to do certain things, to not give up. But also I have this activist heart of, hey, we got to stop, you know, with the plastic pollution. We got to stop deforestation, you know, and we need to be a more collaborative global community. And we need to, all these things are what drive me. So it's really fulfilling a purpose in my life. So I feel like that's what it is. And so my why is to live my actual truth of who I am.
Yeah, and I think, you know, self-expression, you touched on that at the start of the interview as well, and just expressing that in whatever way you feel fit is really important. It's really important for, you know, creating that meaning in someone's life as well. And certainly I think it's a lot of us overlook it. We don't express ourselves authentically and really, you know, be driven by that authentic sort of expression.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important. So I love it. I love the why. And I think, you know, if everyone can make more impact like that, like business typically has been driven by profits over anything else, so even though that there might be problems and, you know, ecological problems or whatever it might be, profits always come first. And that's business, politics, everything has been driven by that. So the more young people, entrepreneur people, not even young people, but anyone that gets into this sort of positive movement about trying to make social change, trying to solve some of these problems that we have in society without the greed or the need for profit, I think that's going to make the shift in the world and unite us as we need to go. If we don't, then
Exactly. Well, and they talk about the triple bottom line, you know. So again, it's like humanity is in a transitional period where consciousness is shifting. It is going from that traditional line of thought, which is profit first, and we have infinite resources, this whole just whatever it takes to be profitable. That's just the what is produced based on our culture. But that's that cultural mindset is changing based on the conditions of the world, right? So now people are saying, well, we can't just do that. We have to actually consider from start to finish the full circle or holistic approach to living, which is, okay, great, I need to make a living. I'm going to start this business, but how does my product development actually impact the environment or people? And you have that triple bottom line, people, planet, profit. And you don't want to just consider profit. You have to consider all those things. And if you can check the box on all three, now you have a well-oiled machine for a business, right?
Mm, absolutely. Love it, mate. Look, I've got some questions I want to ask you. We've got about 7 minutes to wrap up.
Sure.
So just run through them as quick as we can. I ask all the guests these questions. So the first one is, do you have any particular routines that you believe contribute to your success?
I do. I do a morning routine and I have a routine. So morning routine. So I set up a 7-day calendar and basically every day of the week I have my morning. I wake up at 5:30 and then I do certain things like you mentioned, whether I have my cup of coffee and I do reading for half an hour, then I do some meditation. I answer a question on Quora, stuff like that. And then I start my work day, which is okay, Mondays and Wednesdays, writing articles for guest blogs, or Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm strictly working on marketing strategy. So now every week I'm repeating these things. So I'm constantly hitting what I believe are the most important levers to making my business make progress. Yeah. So it is those routines, which I'm trying to be as disciplined as possible, but it's easy to get distracted with so much going on. And I'm still guilty of sometimes not being disciplined, and I'm trying to be as disciplined as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I've just set myself a challenge for the month to be more disciplined and consistent, and so far it's working really good.
Good.
It helps.
Good.
It's amazing. It helps big time. What advice would you give your 20-year-old self?
I would say start thinking about who you want to be now.
What's your meaning of success?
Having a state of gratitude and being able to do what you want when you want.
Okay. Have you got a number one piece of productivity advice?
Create a routine and be disciplined.
And what advice would you give to someone looking to make change in their life?
Start by doing self-inventory, because it all stems from understanding and getting clarity about who you are as a person, what's important to you, and the skills that you have to contribute, and then taking it from there. If you can build on those core foundational elements, then you can establish a mission that is grounded in those things, which means you're going to be happy with the things you're doing.
Yeah, cool. What's your favorite food?
That's an interesting question. Right now I'm really into Italian food as always, but Indian food is really getting me.
Like it. Leisure activity? Favorite leisure activity?
I like hiking.
And do you have a favorite book you'd like to recommend?
I'll throw this out there because actually, you know what? I'm going to share one of my most recent books, if you don't mind me pulling it up to tell everybody real quick.
Yeah.
So it is a book called, I can't read the whole name here. It's called How to Write Copy That Sells. It's by Ray Edwards.
Yep.
And so the reason I point that book out is because it's not just about copywriting. When you find out more about what you're going to learn is there's a lot of tactical crap people talk about, their marketing execution, how to get more likes, all these things. But at the end of the day, what you find is there's this core foundational piece that most people may not be talking about, and that is psychology. And you have to understand what drives people, what makes them tick. Why do they do what they do? What drives human behavior, right? And once you start realizing that, And that's what this book gets into. It is about copywriting, but it helps you understand how to talk to people and how to do certain things so that they actually pay attention to you, right? Copy is so important. So I found it really powerful.
Good one.
But outside of that, I would also say T. Harv Eker's Secret Minds of a Millionaire. That was a pivotal book for me. It really shaped my perspective on why I'm making a certain dollar amount and how to understand the psychology of money. For real quick, if you hate money because you think it's the evil of the world, just like if you hate black jelly beans, you're probably never going to have any or eat any. So consider that, because even if you do get money and you hate it, you'll probably get rid of it really quick.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's it's powerful stuff. Hey, have you got a favorite quote?
A favorite what?
Quote.
Quote, you know, there's a quote, which I'm going to butcher it right now, but it's from Alan Watts, and he's a philosopher. And it's something to the effect of saying, you know what, give me a pause.
I'll look it up. That's all right. Go for it. Butcher it.
Okay. It's about how we are all connected in the sense that a wave is connected to the ocean. And it's a really powerful quote, just reminds you that we have to all work together because we're all connected together.
Mm. Absolutely. I'm just reading a book called Stealing Fire that talks about these Navy SEALs as a team and how they work together and, really connect consciously in flow, which is, it's just fascinating. That was just the opening chapter. So cool stuff. What do you believe we all have a why?
Say that one more time.
Do you believe we all have a why?
Of course. Absolutely. I mean, we all have a purpose and can find meaning in our own way. So it's just up to you to define what that is and go after it.
And what does living life with passion and purpose mean to you?
I think it's consistent with some of the stuff we mentioned, which is really just going after something that is meaningful. So if you want to contribute and play for something bigger than yourself, giving back, I think that makes passion and meaning in life.
Okay, and how can people best reach you, Adam?
Just head over to creatormag.com. We have lots of interesting stuff over there. One of our latest offers, which is free, is called Reinvent Yourself. It's actually an article from our 7th edition with Arianna Huffington. And guys, this magazine was developed because it is a mentor, essentially, of social entrepreneurs that we interview and other insights that we share about social entrepreneurship to help you along the way. It's the most affordable and accessible form of mentorship that we can offer.
Yeah. Cool. Love it, mate. Look, thank you. Did you find that quote?
I
thought you might have been looking for that.
Yeah, I have it, if I can read it off. So
yeah, go for it.
You are a function of what the whole universe is doing in the same way that a wave is a function of what the whole ocean is doing.
I like it. And that's by Alan Watts.
Yes.
Cool stuff, man. Well, look, thank you for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure. Guys, just remind you, jump onto thehiddenwhy.com. You can check out the show notes there, episode 356 with Adam Force. And make sure you use the links there. Connect with Adam. Thank him for coming on the show and check out what he's got there. He's got a couple of freebies, etc., and a great magazine. So if you're a social entrepreneur or looking to make an impact, certainly check it out. You'll find some value. So thank you, Adam.
Yeah, thank you, Lee. This is awesome. Appreciated the conversation.
Been great. Talk again.
Take care.
Thanks, guys. Thank you, guys. Thank you for taking the time out to tune into this episode today. I hope you've got some value out of the chat with Adam Force. I certainly did. As I always do, I think we can learn something from everyone. Guys, just a reminder, make sure you connect with me at thehiddenwhy.com, subscribe to my newsletter there, and reach out to me if you've got any questions or feedback for the show. You can use my email address there or any of the social media connections as well. Guys, I have published my book, Delegate to Freedom. It's not for everyone. It is about virtual assistants, the benefits of hiring virtual assistants and using them to free up more of your time, and also the how-to guide, how to find virtual assistants, how to choose them, how to select them, how to use them, how to manage them, and get the most effectiveness from them as well. It's a great way to go, very affordable. I've set up a business called Global Office Assistance. So you can check it out, globalofficeassistance.com. Very simple website. But if you are interested in consulting with someone about how they might be able to assist you in your projects, in your business, in your life, then feel free to set up a time to chat with me or one of our associates there. So guys, that's it from me. Enjoy your day. Thank you for tuning in. You know what to do. You need to go out there, breathe more passion into every single moment. Find more purpose in everything you do. And in doing so, you will discover your hidden why. This is The Hidden Why. My name is Lee Martinuzzi, signing out.